Hopefully you're gearing up for the end of this year and really starting next year with momentum. And I've got a series coming up for you over the next several months to help you plan for the next year, to really help you figure out what is on the horizon as a real estate investor, or real estate agent that I should be paying attention to, because we're definitely at a part in the market where it's going to be changing in some way. And also we've seen a lot of changes already reported from our members. One of our members that came to Carrot Camp this last time, he does a ton of deals. He's actually in Miami, but there's a lot of high-end condos and things like that in New Jersey, $1 million plus. And about 8 months ago, they started to see their prices in that market really, really compress fast. And they've had to slash prices on a lot of those houses, and just to get them off the books. And that hasn't happened in years and years and years. And usually the markets that swing first, or the types of properties that swing first, are high end and also condos. So we're starting to see that swing. We're also starting to see it in a lot of other parts of the market. So I'm going to be walking you through some different interviews. And also we've got something coming up you're going to want to keep an eye out for in December. Okay. In December, early December, the first half of December, we're doing a big, big, big online summit. It's going to be a 2-day event. Just like if you were to walk into an event in Roseburg or in wherever it is, a live event, we're doing a 2-day live event with about 12 of our best clients. 12 of our best clients, we're going to be walking through, hey, what are they doing right now as this market's shifting to crush it? What are they planning for next year? Because as I'm talking with a lot of people, creative real estate finance is popping back up, and that's going to be huge for this next year. If you're a real estate agent, there's going to be some things that you've got to change. And also, this is a biggie here, is a lot of big companies are getting into the house buying business. Okay, so I've been talking about this for years, and hopefully people have been paying attention now, that technology is going to eat up the middle of the market, and also the market's going to consolidate. And what do I mean by consolidation? Just like when newspapers and TV stations and car companies started way back in the day, there were hundreds of car companies at the start. Okay, then they all started to consolidate. A bunch of them went out of business because they weren't able to specialize, and then some bought other ones. And they grew into these probably 3, 4, or 5 car makers out of hundreds. Okay, same thing happened with newspapers. Same things happened with TV and radio and all of those types of things, okay? And the same thing is going to be happening with real estate investing. Now, is that something you should be scared about? Heck no. There's a lot of opportunity, tons of opportunity, as we're going to talk about on today's podcast with my guest, Dan Schwartz. We're going to talk about automation. We're going to be talking about how do you really gain freedom and flexibility and time freedom from your business and with your business. We're going to be diving into all that stuff and really how to leverage systems better to close more deals, okay? Because you need to refine your systems in 2019 to get that edge, to get that advantage. Because if you have leads slipping through the cracks and you're not closing deals that you should be closing, you are going to be struggling in 2019. We want to help you crush it in 2019. Okay, so I'm going to be doing a podcast here shortly all about what I predict for 2019. We're going to be talking a lot about it at our online summit. It is going to be a free summit. There will be an opportunity if you want to buy the recordings of the summit, that you can buy the recordings of the summit for a really, really affordable and fair price. But it's going to be a free summit. 2 days, our best clients talking about what's working now and what they're planning for next year, so you can do the same. So keep an eye out. It's going to be the second week of December. It's going to be, I think, a Wednesday, Thursday. And we want you to tell every single one of your colleagues about this summit, because this alone could completely change the way that you attack 2019. Okay, could completely change it. All right, so without further ado, I want to welcome on my guest today. And it was a long, long, long kind of a slight tirade on just really being prepared for 2019, if you're listening to this before the start of the year. But today, Dan Schwartz, he's a return guest. He owns Investor Fuse. We have a lot of clients that use Investor Fuse. Probably 300, 400, 500 of our clients use Investor Fuse as their CRM. And it's an amazing company, amazing product. And they're actually coming out with a completely revamped version of it. But in this call, we talk about time freedom, how to really gain time freedom, a little bit about how to build a team, and also diving into systems and specific systems. Hey, what would you do on follow-up to really gain an advantage in 2019? What would you do with your systems to gain time and really build that team so they actually use the systems? And just some interesting, fun lifestyle stuff. So hopefully you enjoy this conversation with Dan Schwartz. My audio is a little bit weird the first half of the podcast. I made a technical mistake, y'all. I had it recording out of my computer instead of my fancy mic. Second half of the podcast is better, so hopefully you can put up with that. All right, have an amazing rest of the day, and hope you enjoy this episode. Hey guys and gals, Trevor here with Carrot, coming at you with a return guest, actually.
You were on this podcast. It was like in the first 100 episodes, I'm pretty sure. First 50.
Probably.
Yeah. So many of you guys know who I'm talking to. This is Dan Schwartz from InvestorFuse. And I first met Dan a while back, probably a year, probably 2 years ago, maybe. A customer of ours, but also I learned about him through the kind of the Podio world. You know, Podio kind of took the real estate investor world by storm several years back. And like everybody and their dog started building on Podio. And what a lot of people don't realize is Dan was one of the early adopters of that, really helping to have people, helping people build better lead management systems. But as we're going to be talking about here a little bit later, there's some negatives to the whole Podio ecosystem that are popping up. There's one big obvious one that popped up this past year where Podio conveniently shut down their system for a couple of days and everyone's leads were not happening. So yeah. There's going to be a lot of things we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about marketing or we're going to talk about lead management and automation and some things that Dan's passionate about. I know he travels a lot. He lives in a lot of Airbnbs and runs his company from all around the country and sometimes all around the world. So we're going to dig into some of that as well. So this will be a fun combo. It'll be a shorter episode, 30 to 40 minutes or so. But Dan Schwartz, welcome on the Carrot Cast again, man.
Yeah, it's good to be on.
For sure. Dude, so let people know where you are now, but I was kind of like leading with this kind of stuff. What kind of travels have you been doing the last 12 to 18 months? Where have you been?
Well, in the beginning of the year, I was living in San Diego. I'm just going to open this door for some fresh air. I was living in San Diego in an entrepreneur house. So basically just with a bunch of entrepreneur roommates, weekly accountability, masterminds, private chef. It was like a super dialed in daily workflow with successful entrepreneurs surrounded by every day. And it really leveled up my leadership and entrepreneur skill set.
Yep.
And then that ended in May, and I've since been traveling and going to conferences and visiting friends and family all over the country and a lot of real estate conferences and mastermind type of meetups all over the place and and some trips for pleasure as well. I went to Tahoe 2 weeks ago, biked around the lake.
Cool.
And just living my best life, man. This is why we're doing what we're doing, right? Is to live life in the moment and not to be chasing some far off distant thing. So I try to keep that going every single day. You know, the journey is the reward.
I love it, man. It's something. It's funny, like as you do a podcast, and you're going to find this more and more as you dig into your podcast more, which we'll introduce everybody to Dan's new podcast, which I'm pumped about it. But as you dive into your podcast more and more, what ends up happening is like you start to find your voice and you start to say things that you'd never said before and start to put together ideas that you'd never said them in that way. And the cool thing about it is you formulate a new way or new models of living or running your business. And one thing that popped into my mind this past 12 months was, you know, all of us entrepreneurs are after freedom, flexibility, finances and making that impact. And the problem is a lot of us build our companies to where we don't have freedom. We don't have the flexibility. We might have the finances and then we're always too busy to truly make the impact. We're trying to chase the dollar. And, it's something I really look up to you is that you have given yourself, that ability to have more freedom than the average entrepreneur. And it seems like anyway, from the outside, you've baked in more flexibility. You're growing a business that's doing great. You're at the startup phases, of course. There's all kinds of factors there. And I'm just pumped about the impact you're going to be making. So cool stuff, man.
Appreciate you for saying that. Yeah, and I think we also bake in that mentality of freedom into the product itself and the delivery of the product. So that's what kind of helps create something bigger than an actual, just a software company.
I love it.
It's actually like a movement towards creating your business around the life you want to lead, which is just so much more potent than automated follow-up systems.
That's right, man. That's right. So a lot of people know who you are, but there's probably a lot of people who don't know who you are too. So introduce yourself, what's your company, and kind of give the quick 5-minute version of your background, because I know you're a real estate investor, Carrot member. What do you do now? And then we'll start to dig into some of the automation things, living that best life, things like that.
Absolutely. So my background is wholesaling. I was a wholesaler in Baltimore, Maryland, right after I graduated from school, actually, is when I decided to take the plunge into the entrepreneurial life. Basic decision for me, it was, do I want a limited income or an unlimited? I didn't really think past that. It just seemed so clear to me that I wanted to come route. You know, as naive as I was at the time, knowing how challenging that actually is, and how much of a sacrifice that is on so many different areas of your life, no regrets at all. It's definitely the better decision for me, at least. Mm-hmm. I also, you know, the older I get, the more experience I get as an entrepreneur, I also realize that it's not the best choice for some people. Mm-hmm. And to honor that. And so did a couple hundred deals, wholesale deals, while simultaneously playing music all over the country in a touring funk band called Pigeons Playing Ping Pong.
And dude, you sent me, I think it was a text message that you sent me a text that they were here in Oregon in Bend or something like that. Well, that's cool. They're still touring around, and that's awesome.
Not only are they still touring, but they are blowing up, super hardcore blowing up, selling out venues all over the country, playing at Red Rocks, playing at these major amphitheaters. Like, it's crazy. Mm. So I left. So while I was touring, I actually basically by necessity got really good at having to build systems. Because I had a team back in Baltimore taking in all the seller leads. And this was back where you could just send out a mail piece and, you know, maybe 10 other people are doing it in your market and you can still compete. So we had a lot of calls coming in and hardly any systems at all to manage it and set up follow-ups. And we really were only making money on those hot leads and then forgetting about everything else and maybe doing a random text blast in a month and just no process at all.
Yeah.
So I got obsessed about figuring out a process for that because it was my livelihood above and beyond playing music, which doesn't pay you a lot, obviously. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think I'm like Trevor, I'm high quick start, I'm low follow through. And I kind of leaned into that weakness of not naturally gravitating towards systems because I knew that I wasn't the only one feeling that way. Like most entrepreneurs know the importance of systems, but never want to make systems.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I vowed to tackle that problem and to try to figure out how to turn non-systems minded people into systems wizards so that they can actually build, you know, work on their business instead of in their business.
Mm-hmm. And dude, and that's kind of going back to the freedom and flexibility. That's where that comes in, right? Where in my previous companies that I had ran, we had some systems, but the problem was I didn't get the right systems created so I could truly have that freedom and flexibility. I felt like I always had to be there every day. I always had to do this certain work and, getting better at Carrot for sure. You know, we have got a couple dozen employees, so inherently it saves you some time if you do it right. But that's the biggie, y'all, is I want people to latch on to, you know, you become an entrepreneur or a real estate investor or an agent because you want that freedom. You want the flexibility. You want to grow the finances. You want to grow the impact. You can't get the first two without systems, y'all. You can't get them without systems.
Yeah. And I mean, that word gets thrown around a lot, systems. Mm-hmm. So what I've just been saying a lot lately is, team plus automation technology equals time freedom.
Yep.
That's really the only two things that you need to have a quote unquote system. Like your business as an entity is a collection of people that are all glued together by automation technology, kind of running the show behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. And if you get those two things right, then you can really only work on stuff in your business that you want to work on, if at all. I mean, the technology exists now that you can automate some really high leverage stuff in your business that otherwise you wouldn't do because it's so tedious. Mm. And that's kind of what I dug into is the lead management and the admin stuff and the text messaging and the emailing and the autoresponders and the Podio databases and all this computer work that nobody wanted to do. And that's sort of how, you know, InvestorFuse version 1 came about. It was a done-for-you Podio setup, which we tailored specifically for investors. And that's kind of how this whole journey started. Actually, before that, I was with Joe McCall.
Yep, I remember that. Yeah, he's the one that I heard about you from, yeah.
Joe's the one to blame for all your Podio headaches. I just took it to the next level with automation. And really what that allowed us to do is it allowed us to work with hundreds of people and figure out the ideal process for handling a lead and the whole sales process around converting that lead into a contract. And we really dialed that in. Like with Podia, it allowed us to do that. And it basically allowed us to create the prototype for version 2, which is sort of in beta right now, coming out next year.
I love it, dude. And we're going to dive into that here in a bit. So I want to reverse about 2 minutes. I'm going to butcher the words here, but there's team, there's systems equals time freedom. Is that what you said?
Team plus automation equals time freedom.
Cool. So team plus automation equals time freedom. I'm going to throw one other element in there and you can choose to adopt
culture.
Culture, I think everybody has a culture. Like that's the thing. Every company has a culture. It's just whether you're intentional about building it or not. I'll add one to the start, which is vision, because vision plus team plus automation equals time freedom. I've in the past had team members, I'd had systems, but the problem was they didn't know clearly how to make decisions or where exactly we were going so they could make the right decisions. And what ends up happening is if that vision isn't crystal clear, but then recited every single day and people connect, the team connected to the vision, they end up putting systems in place that don't circle back and really serve the business or the vision, which ends up actually removing your time freedom. Because then you got to dive back in there. So anyway, I'll toss that one out there, that vision plus team plus automation equals time freedom. And the vision part's the fun part, right? Because where in that equation are you, right? So if you got the team, you got the systems in there, I always like to have you as the entrepreneur, the CEO in there somewhere, and that's the vision part.
I think it's easier for us to say that since we're running software businesses. But for real estate investors, you got to be more creative with what the vision for your company is. Because we're all just kind of serving the same market. We're helping motivated sellers solve their real estate issues. So really the vision is up to you. You still have the flexibility to build an underlying why or reason of being for your whole team to get behind every day. So it's not just a transactional thing. But it's important nonetheless.
Yep, it is for sure, dude. So let's kind of dive into what are you seeing? So you've got hundreds and hundreds of clients that are processing lots of deals. We were talking about some data when we were over in Tampa, and there's a lot of deals going through Investor for You. So just off the top of your head, whatever data you have, do you know what has that volume been like, let's say the past 30 days or whatever the most recent time period is that you know?
Last month, our customer base got 870 off-market deals under contract that we could track in the system. And I wish I could actually dig into that and figure out like what types of marketing that came from. That will happen next year. With the new system, we're going to be able to track all those campaigns so we can actually tie that back and deliver data back to the industry so that people do better, more dialed in marketing. So there's a lot of volume right now in the marketplace. There's still a lot of deals coming through, a lot of leads coming through the system. I would say on average, our customers are spending $2,000 to $3,000 a month on marketing, and on the high end, $100,000 plus per month in marketing, doing stuff like TV ads and, you know, fancy high end marketing.
Yeah. So talking to your clients, is there anything that you're hearing is working or is not working as well right now than it was, let's say, a year ago?
Yeah. So you got to be doing the 1-2 punch, direct mail plus cold calling right now. That's the secret sauce. Yep. Don't just send out postcards and direct mail. Send out postcards and direct mail and skip trace and call them. Make sure you have that system locked in. That's how you're going to maximize that list.
Sorry, man, I didn't mean to interrupt you there. And it's funny because when at Carrot Camp, same kind of thing, like the same discussions were had. And Bo Hollis was here at Carrot Camp, number one home buyer in Louisville, Kentucky. He closes 15 to 25 deals a month and he's just jamming on cold calling. Like it's cold calling with a little bit of direct mail. And the one thing I want to toss out to everybody is I call it traffic stacking. I was going to say lead stacking, but lead stacking, people refer to that about something else in real estate. But traffic stacking is, if you look back 2 years ago, direct mail was the thing, right? Like it was the thing that everyone's like, oh my gosh, direct mail. As the market heats up, your response rates and everything go down, not just direct mail, but as the market heats up and that marketing method is used more, the response rates go down. So you have to spend more to get the same response rate. Your average cost per deal might climb up a little bit. But if your average profit per deal went up, like, it doesn't matter. It all weighs out. And then cold calling hit hard this last year and a half. And so then, like you said, you're stacking those methods. And Bo Hollis was here, and he's like, well, I'm not really doing any online stuff. He's got the Carrot site, which he gets leads and deals through, because when you do your offline marketing, it creates demand for the online. Your offline marketing creates demand for people picking up their cell phone when they got that cold call, and they're going to Google your phone number that you cold called from, or your name or the company name, or they're going to pick up that direct mail piece and Google, you know, whatever's on there. And there's a client of ours, Stuart, out of Oklahoma, number one home buyer in Oklahoma City, might be the number one home buyer in Oklahoma, 1-800-2-SELL-HOMES. Tons of radio, tons of TV, scaled down his direct mail for some reason, I don't remember, but wasn't doing anything online other than he had his professional custom website that looked great, but it didn't convert. It converted leads, but he didn't realize how much leads he was losing. So he switched over to Carrot, went through our concierge program, and then he got an email a month later, and he just basically said, we lost hundreds of thousands of dollars and we didn't even know it, because our website wasn't set up to really perform once someone landed there, especially on a cell phone, and convert them at a high rate and build credibility. The last thing, it even increased his close ratio, because his old website was harder to navigate. It didn't have the right credibility elements on it. So therefore, he wasn't pre-framing his offline people once they landed there. He wasn't pre-framing them to choose him, because they might have opted into four different websites or saw four different people. His new site pre-frames them to choose him, even if they opted into four different people's sites.
Do you have anyone that are just doing online marketing at the expense of everything else?
Yep, a lot of people are, and I want people to talk. What you talked about there, dude, the offline and then the online, they should marry up. Like, you need to stack the stuff. You need to stack the stuff, because online amplifies the offline when you do it right. If you have a crappy website or one that looks pretty and doesn't convert like Stuart did, it's not going to amplify. He lost probably $300,000 or $400,000 past 12 months by not having it. Now, the flip side of it, if you just do online, like Brian Rockwell in Dallas, he did about $650,000 in wholesale fees in 2017. I don't know what he did this year, but he crushed it this year too. All online. It was all SEO and PPC, 100%.
Well, I think online gives people the channel to differentiate from everybody else. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is your brand, whether you think you have one or not, is the one thing that no one can copy.
Yep.
And I think your website is the best channel for you to showcase that brand. And the best way to do that is just to put up as many testimonials as possible. Because when these sellers are seeing your billboard or, you know, researching you online to make sure you have, you know, a Better Business Bureau style credibility attached to you, they're going to want to also see your personality. And I think that's the one thing. Like, if there's 20 other wholesalers in your market and you have just an authentic testimonial experience with 20 sellers that were all happy with your service, you're going to definitely win over the next guy that doesn't have that. So, like, your brand is a differentiator that no one else can copy, and you should go all in on stuff that nobody else can copy.
Dude, 100%. Like, I love that, man. That's what we've been going all in on this year, and I want people to re-listen to that for next year, because especially as the market gets tighter, where there's, you know, a lot of people that are doing the same thing as you, an investor or an agent, whatever it is, and if the market contracts a little bit, which we'll see what happens, but the way you stand out is exactly that. You can't keep on just saying, hey, I'll buy your house and I'll pay cash and I'll close quickly, because everyone else can say the same thing. But what can they not say? And then display that on your direct mail. Build a tighter connection on those cold calls, so you're not just a robot on them. And then when people are going to your website, I'll build that connection. And this is one last thing that I'll say, and I want to dive into automation and investor fees, is this, is when we're looking at the different marketing methods in the data, and there's probably people that will refute this, and that's fine. I'm always up for a good debate. But there's the offline marketing methods and PPC too. Like, I'm not saying just offline, but anything where you're actively putting an ad in front of people, you know, you're actively, it's like outbound marketing. It goes in these cycles, right? It goes in these cycles where, like I was saying, three years ago, DM was crushing it, direct mail was crushing it. And then your response rates went down because everyone was starting to do it. and you'd get 15 postcards in your box. And then it's like, well, cold calling's crushing it. And what I predict happening over the next 12 to 18 months is your response rates on cold calling are going to start to dip a little bit because everyone's going to be doing it, or everyone's going to be hitting voicemail drops, or everyone's going to be hitting text message drops. The one thing that's constant, though, the one thing that's constant and actually increasing every single quarter that we're seeing is the demand for inbound online marketing. That's the only one that I see, and there might be another. That's the only one that I see that increases because it's driven by your prospect, not by you. Because they're actually going online. They're seeking out the problem. Problems are always going to be there. The internet is just getting easier to use these days. And so that's just the importance of having that 1-2-3 punch. You've got your offline, your cold calling and direct mail. Amplify the crap out of that with your online, which that's going to be where it's going to keep climbing.
And then you can retarget people on social media, which is where they're spending most of their time.
Exactly, man. That's right. No, I could talk marketing stuff all day. I love it. So automation, dude. So what do you, if I had to throw at you, I'm going to give you two scenarios. So let's say, well, I don't think we need two scenarios. I'm just going to throw this at you. If I was doing deals, let's say I'm doing a few deals a month, as a real estate investor, what should I be automating on the back end once a lead comes in? So let's say the lead got there from a cold call or direct mail, or it came through Carrot. Now, what are you guys automating on the back end, and what's working the best?
Okay. Yeah. So 80-20 principle. I don't do a podcast without talking about this.
Yep.
The 80-20 principle is a law of nature that says that there's a few tiny actions that give you the biggest result. Mm-hmm. 20% of your actions produce 80% of your results. Sometimes it's 90-10, sometimes 95-5. But there's a small slice of actual things that you do every day that are producing the most results. And what we found in the real estate business is that that middle section of the sales process is where everything breaks down. Mm. So everybody, relatively speaking, knows how to generate a lead. And the most experienced people all know how to, you know, close a lead. They know the basic principles of transaction engineering. And the middle hasn't been well served from a systems and software standpoint up to this point. Most of the systems that have existed only focused on the lead gen side of things, which is now kind of becoming a commodity. You know, lead generation is, and anyone can send out direct mail and get the phone ringing, and you're in business.
Or you can just straight up buy leads, right? Like there's people where you can just pay the $100 and get a darn lead.
Exactly. But your ability to create a pipeline of recurring opportunities that just come into your business because you have them on a follow-up sequence, mm-hmm. is the most high leverage 80-20 activity you can possibly invest in. And automation applied to that is like the best use case for automation. So it's also important to understand that the point of automation is to enhance the human elements of the business, not to eliminate the human elements of the business. So the things that are actually going to make you money is when you're having face-to-face conversations with sellers and buyers. That, and ideally with sellers and buyers that are motivated, that you can serve and that need to be served.
Yep.
I said need, not want. So you use automation to maximize those human moments in your business. And that's where you apply automation. And I would say the first things, if you're just starting out and you haven't really tinkered with technology, first thing you want to outsource or automate is the lead qualification. You need to have someone that's filtering out all of your incoming opportunities. If you have referrals and direct mail and bird dog submitting things and website leads coming in, you want to have one person that's in charge of collecting all of that, filtering it down, isolating, you know, the most motivated people, mm-hmm. getting them in front of you so you can have that human moment, and then putting everybody else in a follow-up sequence so that down the line you'll have a pipeline of these leads going through your system. Eventually they're going to need to sell their house, and you're going to be right there ready to serve.
Yep.
So automation applied at that front stage of when a lead comes in and it's captured, you need to have a call answering person or a lead manager or someone on your team that's in charge of, you know, an office manager handling that first step in the lead management business, because that's where most people, they're usually a bottleneck for that, and they burn out, and that's when you lose and
a lot of money from deals that slip through the cracks. So that's where I would apply automation first.
Sweet. So you get that taken care of, and then let's say something isn't a deal. Okay, let's say at that time it's not. Lead goes dead, whatever. What are you guys putting in place to then recapture and engage those prospects as the months go on?
There's cold leads, there's warm leads, there's hot leads. If it's a cold lead, we just put them on a general awareness drip sequence of emails and text messages that just basically say, hey, we're still thinking about you. If at any point down the road you need to sell your house, you know, we can do it really quickly. You don't have to deal with realtors or MLS or waiting. Just staying in front of people, not obnoxiously, but maybe once every couple months, and that's completely automated. Yep. So that's one way to do it. You don't want to delete a lead from your database unless they tell you to screw off, unless they have already sold their house, or those are the only two options that you should delete a lead. Otherwise, you should keep them in a funnel, because all it takes is just one click and you're done, and then you can move on to the next lead. So you want to get it to that point where it's just as easy as just like clicking a button, moving on to the next thing.
Dude, it's so funny. Let me toss this quick little story out to people to show the importance of this, and it's a big deal. A friend of mine, Alex Pardo, an investor in Miami, we, about 18 months ago, we had started working together on some stuff, and we were driving leads for him. We actually had kind of partnered on some stuff for a period of time to test something, and we were driving the lead. He was closing it. We were splitting profits, and in the Miami market, honestly, mainly it was because I wanted to take on the challenge, because Miami was really hard through PPC. I'm like, we can make this thing work. Mm. And so, long story short, that was 18 months ago. He hit me up about 2 months ago, and he said, "Hey, dude, what's your wire information?" And so why? And he goes, "Well, you know that one lead that went into contract and fell out, and then, you know, they kind of fell off the map." I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Well, they answered back on one of our follow up items. I can't remember if it was a text message or email. That is just this drip sequence that was going on for over a year, like over a year and a half, and." Even during that year, they had engaged with another investor. The investor couldn't fulfill on it and close. And then they hit Alex back up and he closed. And so 18 months after that lead came in, 18 months. And here's what I want people to add these numbers up. Let's say you're using a system like InvestorFuse. And what's the average amount that someone invests in InvestorFuse on a monthly basis?
That's $200 a month. And they're making at least 20 grand a month.
Cool. So there we go. So $200 a month, right? Let's just do some quick, mm-hmm. simple math. This is the way that I do math, y'all, on ROI stuff. It's $2,400 a year. And that one deal, just the one, that wasn't a big deal. It wasn't even a big deal. It was like, I think my share was like $5,000. So he got his $5,000 or whatever it ended up being. So let's say it was a $10,000 deal. That one deal that if you wouldn't have had follow-up in place and been able to manage it well and see the notes of what happened 18 months ago, because you're not going to remember that. That's not going to be on a spreadsheet still somewhere that you're holding somewhere. Mm-hmm. That one deal would have basically paid for InvestorFuse like 4 or 5 years, mm-hmm. that would have slipped through the cracks. So that's the way that I look at things. Same thing with your carrot site. Losing one deal per year because of an underperforming site. Like Stewart, he lost a lot of deals per year, racking well up into the hundreds of thousands of dollars. I would have paid for carrot for till like the next ice age, essentially.
Yeah, it's like you're investing in an asset.
Yep, exactly.
Something that is producing revenue. Your websites are assets because they are basically like bandit signs for the internet.
Yep.
You know, they're literally little ATM machines. They're assets that pay money. Follow-up sequences or like a pipeline of automated leads at scale that are constantly being followed up with without your involvement is an asset that will produce revenue for you. So you need to think about when you're investing in services like Carrot or InvestorFuse, you need to be able to see the clear return on your investment in that as an asset.
And the margin in the middle, that's something that a lot of people don't think about as they look at the monthly payment, right? But just even that one example, how many leads and deals are you losing because you're not following up on them? You're not managing them well. Like, forget the ones that you're getting that you know that you're closing. That's amazing. But how many are you losing? That alone pays for InvestorFuse for years. So
it's all just such a pain in the ass. to be honest. That whole process is such a pain in the ass. Like, I hated that. That was like my least favorite part of this business. Yeah. So it's kind of crazy that that's what I'm doing full time, is helping people do that. But I think that the way that technology is built, and the way that we've built this new software, is so you can actually spend less time on the computer and less time doing that stuff that you didn't get in this business to do, right? Like, so less time on the computer is the goal, and most systems that are out there require you to spend way more time on the computer than necessary. Podio is a great example of that.
Yep.
Like, people.
Dude, let's dive deep on that, because I know you got a hard stop, and I'm going to meet my wife for lunch here in a bit. And I want to dive in that, because whenever I see CRMs and lead management systems pop up, some variation of Podio was always in there. And I'm not saying it's a terrible thing, because InvestorFuse 1.0 was built on that. It was a great, great resource, but there's flaws, right? There's flaws. So what have you found that someone's looking at building their lead management off of Podio? What are the big drawbacks that forced you guys to go, okay, you know what? We're not really serving our client well if we continue to build off of this other platform. We're going to build our own from scratch.
Mm-hmm. The biggest thing is the sheer complexity of the interface. Mm-hmm. So when you're logging into Podio, even if it's done for you set up like InvestorFuse, you still have to think about, all right, what do I click now? Do I click over to the seller leads app, or do I go to the transactions? Once I'm in here, what record do I click? Okay, now that I see this huge wall of text, what button do I click now? Way too much thinking, way too much training, and quite frankly, way too much margin of error. Like, you're not going to trust your team to be able to execute flawlessly on such a complex system. And we made it as simple as we possibly could, given the constraints of that, you know, customizable interface that Podio gave us.
Yep.
So what we realized is that nobody wants to think about stuff when they're on their CRM. They just want to, like, look at the relevant information. They want to see what they have to do right now. They want to get in front of that seller and then move on to the next thing and close the laptop as soon as possible. Like, so we had to just rethink CRM from the ground up. We don't even think of what we just created as CRM. Actually, we're calling it a DLM, digital lead manager.
Yep.
It's like an assistant that does your lead management. So we thought of a system that, instead of having all these different apps and different navigation confusion like Podio, it's just one screen. Simplicity. And it is action and task driven, meaning that it literally tells you what to do step by step. There's no other thing to do other than the one step you're on right now. Mm-hmm. And in that way, it's impossible to mess up. Did you get a hold of the seller? Yes or no? Yes. Okay, fill in the information. Here's your call script. Okay, click enter. Cool. What do you need to do next? Schedule your next action. Schedule a follow-up appointment. Here's your calendar. Put in the time. Sends a message out to the seller. It notifies you that all this happened. Puts in your calendar. Like, just step, 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 step. There's no thinking involved. And no other system has been able to make it that simple. So that's what I'm most excited about. I think we cracked the code for lead management. Yep. We realize that it's the same no matter what type of investing you're doing. To get a deal under contract, it's the same process every single time. Qualifying a lead, pursuing the opportunity, closing the lead. And we've developed like huge decision trees of like, if this happened, then we'll do this. That just makes it super easy for people to execute. So I'm just excited to see how much money people are going to make off of this, because now you don't have to worry about complex technology, which was the one thing that Podio kind of plagued people with. It's just complexity. So, sorry, got excited about that.
I love it, man. And the whole complexity thing, I mean, I know there's quotes out there, and I can't remember the specific quote, but there's something around the effect of, number one, people won't use complex systems, or they won't use them well. Number two, complex systems break easily, right? And whether you're talking about code on the back end, that too, or like, you want your code on the back end to be simple, but complex systems break easily. Here's a good example going to the website side of things. Like, if you look at a WordPress site that people have up there, a complex WordPress site is one with their 15 to 20 plugins that they think that they need to have in there. Every plugin needs updated, all this, this, and that. They might not work together well because the same developer didn't make them all. And a lot of people have websites that are like that. They're clunky. They're slow. All these plugins conflict because it wasn't the same developer that built them all. And then you end up not updating one. What happens? The system breaks. You have someone hack in there, or this one plugin doesn't work. There's a conflict over here. It's the same thing on the back end. Now you look at the front end of the user interface. Things break when they're complicated. People skip steps because it's not apparent what the next step is going to be. And if one step gets skipped because it's not apparent what the next step is going to be, that's going to cost time, cost money potentially. Keep things simple. And last thing, I'll circle back to freedom and flexibility. Dude, if you're always working in complex systems, it's really hard to get the freedom and flexibility because you've wasted a bunch of time too.
Mm-hmm. And you don't have any to do it for you.
Yep. Yep, exactly.
Nope. Lost there for a second. But yeah, so the key is to the paradigm of automation is you use technology to use less technology. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. That's the point of automation, and really get back to the skill sets that make you money in this business, which is the hiring of awesome team members, introducing new strategies for purchasing properties, raising money, negotiating major deals. I'm talking like the actual physical things that you're doing that are actually bringing in the bacon, not doing stuff that's the equivalent of shuffling paper around, which is what using, complex systems generally does. And, manually texting people and like all that stuff is just not necessary anymore with the technology that exists.
I love it. So I want to kind of wrap the lead management part of it here. I want to toss in your new podcast here in a second. But with the lead management side of it, you guys have InvestFuse 2.0 in beta right now. It's coming out of beta as of the time that we're recording this in early 2019. But if you listen to this in 2019, it'll already be out of beta. Dude, where can people find out about InvestFuse, InvestFuse 2.0? Where do they go?
So the website, investorfuse.com, F-U-S-E.com, has a lot of good information. If you go to the features page, there's a little walkthrough that Alan, one of our customer success guys, put together. It's super simple. It's a 6-minute video that shows you how powerful and simple the thing is. Cool. And if you're watching this closer to today's date, November 2nd, just go to investorfuse.com/replay. And we just did a webinar yesterday where we opened it up to a couple more companies before it goes live. Unfortunately, we sold out of that cohort of people, but you can watch the most up-to-date demonstration of the system. So investorfuse.com/replay. And then you can also sign up for a wait list. And we're going to email that list before we email everybody else when it goes live in 2019. And when I say it goes live, that means you can sign up on the website without having to like go on a webinar or, it's not closed off. It's going to be open.
Sweet. I love it, man. So yeah, investorfuse.com or investorfuse.com/replay. If it's within a certain amount of time around when we're recording this in early November 2019. Dude, you texted me a couple months ago about a podcast project you had. And one thing that I love is when entrepreneurs use the business to fuel their passion, because all too often, I got caught in this too, we build businesses so we can make some money because maybe your back is against the wall or you don't like what you're doing. You're like more running away from something. But then eventually when your back isn't against the wall anymore, you have to find something to run towards. Like there needs to be something that you're trying to run towards, and it can't always be money because that goal is always a bigger number. There's always another zero. And so it pumps me up when you launch that podcast around something you're passionate about. So, what's the title of the podcast? What's your aim with that podcast?
Yeah. Appreciate the shout out. Mm-hmm. So the podcast is called The Real Estate Time Freedom Show. You might have noticed the pattern that I'm kind of obsessed about time freedom. That's right. And I really think that's what everybody wants. They want the capacity to do what they really want to do. And it's like the underlying reason that you're listening to this podcast right now. Like if you ask why enough times, it ultimately will come back to something that's not real estate related, right? So in order to get out of your own way, you need to figure out how to free up time and build your business around your ideal lifestyle. So that's the focus of the podcast, is to bring on successful people that have figured that out, real estate investors specifically, that have figured out how to do 30 plus deals per month without having to talk to a single seller and traveling and being with their family and doing the things that actually give them joy, because we're all going to die, unfortunately. It's one life and we shouldn't be spending it, doing minutia of real estate investing and pulling comps all day. Mm-hmm. unless you really want to, unless that's what you really want to do. And I totally respect that as well. You have the capacity to build your business around the stuff you enjoy and are good at. And that's sort of the underlying theme of all the conversations. Sure, we go into marketing strategy, we go into transaction engineering, but the major focus of it is entrepreneurship and scaling a business without being the bottleneck. That's what I really like to talk about. And we also talk about like other things that can contribute to living a free and independent life, like physical fitness and health and mindsets and mindfulness and all that good stuff.
Dude, I love it. So where can people find that podcast? Of course, they can search for it on iTunes, but do you have a URL for it or anything?
Yeah, if you go to realestatetimefreedom.com, it will take you to our community page, and you'll find the podcast from there.
Cool. I love it, man. Dude, I'm pumped about what you're doing. It's been cool seeing the whole evolution, I know.
Yeah.
I know, like early on when you were thinking about starting InvestorFuse, we chatted on the phone. And then when you're thinking about 2.0, we chatted on the phone. And you're executing, man. You're executing. You're adding a lot of value. And I know, like with any business has hiccups, and you learn things along the way. We've had our own here at Carrot. And as you guys are challenging yourselves to build out an amazing platform, which is 2.0, the tech stuff always takes longer than you think. So I just want to give you a little pass there, because I've seen like in some threads every now and then, it's like, but it's behind. Tech stuff is always behind y'all. So just make sure to really engage in a platform that's going where you want to go. That isn't going in the past. It's going where you want to go. If you can align with those people and align with people that have the same core value match as you, and they're building a business that inspires you the way that you want them to be inspired, that's the ones I would line up with, because they're going to figure it out. They're going to be the ones that build the tool, that build the culture, that build everything around that, that gets you where you want to go. So I'm pumped about where you guys are going. I'm pumped to where you guys are too, right now. But really proud of you, man. And it's going to be exciting to see what happens this next year.
I learned it all from you, man. So all the love right back to you, dude. Appreciate you.
For sure, man. So everybody go to investorfuse.com or hit up his podcast and just follow what he's doing. There's going to be a lot of things happening in 2019. We're going to be hopefully collaborating on some stuff here in the next 3 to 6 months. We're thinking about a little online summit here. It's not thinking about we're doing it, but we need to figure out kind of what specifically is happening. So if you're listening to this in November, be on the lookout. We are going to do an online summit, a 2-day summit in early December. So keep an eye out on the podcast, on our following. I'm sure Dan somewhere as well on Facebook and Instagram. And just keep following what they're doing, y'all. Get the systems in place. And like you said, we'll finish it with this. What were those two steps to get time freedom, man?
Team plus automation plus vision equals time freedom.
There we go. I love it. Well, sweet. Dan, I appreciate it. I know you got to bounce. I do too. Going to meet my wife for lunch. And thank you all for spending the time with us on the Carrot Cast. And while you're looking at what you're going to be doing this week and next week, and you're planning out your 2019, what systems are the systems that are giving you your biggest bottleneck right now? What systems are those? Are they your lead management systems? Are they your online marketing systems? Is it, you know, your follow-up systems? Write those down on a piece of paper right now. Add up how much money or time you're likely losing with your current systems, and then go find and invest in the right resources to plug those gaps so you can really hit 2019 with momentum. So appreciate y'all. Go to iTunes, give us a rating and review, and subscribe to this if you haven't. If you just found us on YouTube, subscribe on YouTube. If you found us on iTunes, subscribe over there. Talk soon. Sweet. Hope you enjoyed that episode of the Carrot Cast with Dan Schwartz, a good friend and just partner of ours. He's building a great product, and I'm crazy, crazy pumped about what they're going to be doing this next year and how they're going to be helping a lot of our clients. So if you're interested in checking it out, I don't make any money from saying this, go check out InvestorFuse. And if you're listening to this in 2019, InvestorFuse 2.0 should be out in full force by that time. And just really follow what they're doing, because one thing I love about Dan is their system isn't going to have every single bell and whistle. What it is going to do is give you the simplest path to success. And oftentimes, simple is better than complex. And people use simple systems, okay? So don't try to get too complex with your stuff, otherwise people won't use it, it's complex things break, okay? So go with simple and scale your business. Now, here's a couple asks I've got of you, okay? First of all, I want you to mark these dates. Like I was saying on the start of this episode, I believe it's going to be the second week of December. We're doing a big online summit. You're going to hear about it here in about a week and a half to 2 weeks, the specific dates, the specific guests. We're lining up the guests right now. It is going to be a free summit. We want to help you guys prepare for 2019 in an amazing way. And most of the people on there are going to be some of our most successful guests. Some of them are just going to be experts that I want to bring on to cast vision for what they feel the real estate market in general is going to be in 2019 for both agents and investors. And I'm going to do several sessions on what to really plan for. There's the iBuyer market that's coming in hot and heavy. If you're an investor or an agent, this is going to impact you. Okay, Open Door's been in business for several years buying real estate, and then OfferPad popped up, and they're backed by hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. I think part of the business model is flawed. I guess time will tell. But at the end of the day, other companies are hopping in as well. Keller Williams just announced that they've been testing an iBuyer program where they actually buy houses. Coldwell Banker officially announced it on the NAR blog, National Association of Realtors blog, that they are going to be offering home buying options for all their clients that they work with. So this is going to be the game moving forward, y'all. And I've been talking about it for years, that the way that you stand out is with credibility. The way that you stand out is with your expertise. The way that you stand out is by localizing. It's not always going to be the highest offer, but what it is going to be is the person that's the trusted expert. How do you become the trusted expert? You do it with content. You do it with content, y'all. And that's the way we've been since day one, is teaching you guys and gals to stand out with content and with credibility. A lot of y'all have been ignoring us over the years, but here's the deal. You can't ignore us anymore, because the market's going to force you to really go out there and stand out, become an expert on something, put the information out there. Because if you're up against everybody else is also buying properties and they're making this mainstream, okay, it's going to not only bring more people in the business of wanting to sell their house quick because it's making it more mainstream with Coldwell Banker and Keller Williams and others getting into it, but it's also going to add more competition. The way that you crack through that competition is by being the expert, the trusted expert with credibility that the person wants to work with. And we're going to help you get there. Okay, so check it out. Be on the lookout for that online summit. Last little announcement here and ask is, we haven't sent out anything at all yet about Carrot Camp. Okay, Carrot Camp, we already have two scheduled for 2019. The dates for the May Carrot Camp are at carrotcamp.com. Go check them out. And we have not even emailed it. We haven't done a full podcast about it. We haven't even social mediated it. We just opened up the page after the last Carrot Camp was done. And we already have 6 or 7 of the 15 spots that are taken. And these are with amazing people, multiple people with 100 plus deals a year that are already signed up. Just amazing, amazing people. So we're going to be emailing this out here in the next week, week and a half. And if you want a spot in this Carrot Camp, for May, go check it out at carrotcamp.com. Get in, fill out the application, then make sure you submit your payment. Several people who have filled out the application, they were approved and they haven't submitted their payment, so their seat is not saved yet, right? So if you want to grab one of those seats, the second that we start marketing that, it's going to fill up really fast. I'm giving you a head start. Go to carrotcamp.com. We'd love to see you in May. And also, I'm going to really look out for you for the December summit as well. So I'm going to have a blast. So give us a rating review on iTunes, and have an amazing, amazing week.